Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. And Matina's filling in for Kasim today. And our guest today is Linnea, right? So if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
My name is Linnea Donahue, and I'm the owner of Podunk's Ranch. And we're a beef producing ranch. And so that's what I do for a living at this point. I produce grass-fed, grain-finished beef.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this company?
It goes back to my grandpa. And so he bought the land in the 60s. And then my father inherited it. And both of them were cow-calf operations and worked extremely hard. And so I decided that I wanted to do something different. And so I tried to talk my dad into it for years, raising beef, and he didn't want anything to do with it. So I decided that that was my avenue. That was my best avenue of keeping the land, as far as my passion is to keep land in agriculture. Lots of subdivisions were in Southwest Colorado. Lots of people want to move here. It's beautiful. And so I'm seeing land that was once pastures and farm ground being turned into 2-acre ranchette subdivisions kind of thing.
So I'm sure that you've probably gotten lots of offers from people like over the years to buy your land. So like you mentioned obviously that you're passionate about it, but is that like the biggest thing driving you to, you know, keep your land and to keep, you know, having this business?
Well, there's two different things. One of them is that first and foremost, to keep that land in agriculture. There was numerous people immediately. There's a subdivision right next to me. I think they're on 3.5-acre plots, which was a family that we grew up with, you know, running cows together. Their kids inherited it. There was a number of kids, you know, and it's expensive. It's expensive to hang on to ag land with sometimes little outcome. But so, and also I was a teacher for years and I taught nutrition and have studied nutrition since well in my 20s. And so to provide beef that is highly nutritious and comes from a sustainable agricultural producer is something, and is delicious, is something that's really important to me.
So what has been your biggest challenge in starting this business?
The work, the daily work. Sometimes things are heavier than me that I have to pick up. Sometimes I think something's going to take me an hour and it takes me all day long and then I'm in the sun. And as a woman, sometimes that can be, I don't want to say that. Actually, I don't want to say that because I don't think it has to do with gender, but it can be hard work.
So do you delegate the work or do you have people that help you out? Like, how do you manage? You know, it's like you mentioned lifting some pretty heavy things and like long days. So like, do you have helpers around or how does that look like for you?
Well, about 3 years ago, my sweetheart asked if he could join in with me, and he's a cow-calf operation and he runs about 250 head of cows. It worked out great for me because then now I can kind of advertise as wild land because we run cows up in the mountains, and which is absolutely fantastic. That is my passion also, is riding horses, grew up rodeoing. And so he helps me. He helps me tremendously, but he's also busy. So I help him. And yeah, some days I'm like, you know what? I need a day off. I haven't had a day off. I don't want to think about work. And we're going to go to the lake, which is rare, but we get to try to fit in fun with our work.
So what makes you better than your competition?
What makes us better? We are hands-on with every steer. Every steer, every animal that we raise comes from our ranch. So we see them from start to finish. What I do is I buy yearlings from him and then I finish him for the next year. So they're running up high elevation all summer for the most part, 2 summers. If not, they're down here in the lower valley, which is 7,000 feet, on irrigated native grass, highly nutritious grasses. And then they come over to my house in a smaller pasture, still on grass, and get treats of grain every morning and every night, which I think also, and didn't really think about it when I started it, but it also puts a very low stress on the animal. And you know what stress can do to our body? Throws in that adrenals, just puts a different, different chemicals, different through our body. So for our steers, they're interacting with humans for the last 3 months of their life, consistently, twice a day. And to the point when I do take them to the processor, I tend to always have a tear down my face coming home because I've interacted with them for so long. But on the other hand, it is also wonderful to provide this nutritious meat and delicious. So that's, I think, what separates us hugely is when we do load them in the trailer to take them to the processor and get to the processor, their stress level is minimal.
So what does your typical day look like?
Well, this morning I got up, went over and irrigated. I don't know how much you guys know about irrigating land, but I run gated pipe. Next year, I'm going to switch over to side rolls. Very excited about that and produce some hay. So I irrigate, and then I was just about ready to go out. I have a 2-year-old colt that I just started 2 days ago. So I mess with him every day, twice a day. And then I get on my computer and have been learning some technology, which is stressing my brain. And I work on my webpage and work on my marketing for the beef. Oh, and also we'll pack meat. We sell about 1,500 to 2,000 pounds of meat a month. And one of our biggest customers, and I'm very proud and honored to be a part of this, is Care and Share, which happens to be kind of the umbrella in Colorado for the financial means for the food pantries. So we serve about 8 food pantries through a federal grant that allows the food pantries to buy directly from ranches and farms. So these people that are maybe having hard times, which, you know, from a nutritional perspective, need the higher nutrition. So that is for us just, it warms my heart and all kinds of levels. And so, battle delivering meat. Yeah. So that's my day.
That's great. What's the role of technology in your business right now?
What's the role in the technology? So a lot of my private customers are coming off of emails. So we do a monthly giveaway, which then allows me to get emails, then allows me to market through emailing. And of course, I have a website, a shopping website. We ship beef. So that's my huge learning curve. I just figured out that my newsletter isn't going to everyone. So now I have to go back and look at my tabs. And if I did my tabs and tags and whatever all that terminology is. So yeah, there I am going, what? I just want to go outside, build a fence or something.
So in terms of, like, you mentioned these giveaways, it's like a really smart idea, but when you were first getting started, like, how did you find these people to even reach? Like, is it Facebook? Like, where do you find them to go and join your giveaway and to get on your mailing list?
So when I first started, I was just selling quarter, half, and whole. We would sell 5 or 6 steers a year, but it wasn't sustainable. I mean, it was a lot of work, or the financial income was just not quite there. So I actually invested into a company, a marketing company, that has helped me with the learning curve. It was like going to college for 6 months, every day learning. And so that's where I have learned the concept of this marketing. And so, yes, we'll put an ad on Facebook, and it also goes on Instagram. And of course, I put it on my personal page. Occasionally, I will advertise here locally and to, you know, pull in that kind of local group. But now we're able to sell as bundles, you know, 20-pound bundles. You know, of course, still the quarter, half, and whole. Really would like to educate people on that. There is a seasonality to beef, and it does make it easier if you are ready to stock your freezers and have that beef for, you know, the year. It is truly how it all kind of operates.
In terms of certain customers, so you mentioned, obviously, you have local customers in Colorado. So are your customers all around the U.S., or where are most of your customers located?
All kind of all over Texas, Colorado. Sent some meat to Nashville recently. Where else have we sent? California. So, yeah, variety.
But in terms of technology, are you using tools like artificial intelligence in your business?
Yeah. Yeah, I cheat a lot. Yep.
So I guess, like, what's the role of it? Do you use it more for, like, content writing or for marketing? Or, like, what is the role of AI when it comes to your business?
I use it for content writing just to make sure, you know, sometimes I'm just throw something out and I put it in AI and they give it back to me. And I'm always shocked, like, wow, I really need to go back to English class. But that helps me tremendously in time management and just making sure that it sounds good, that it's, you know, readable.
So in your mind, like you mentioned, obviously animals having less stress, but I guess, like, what else makes beef higher quality in your opinion?
The personal touch that I put in, good communication with me. We are in the process of making our own, like, recipe book to help people cook. I give them tons of information as far as how much space or room they need in their freezer. And I'm just in that way, I'm a good communicator. I like that hospitality part of life.
For sure. So what's the definition of success for you in your business?
That eventually that I get to take a whole month off in the winter and go to the sun. That's my definition of success, that I have reached the point where I have culled my herd and sold my beef and that I have a month off in the winter, and we're getting there.
But as of right now, you've not been able to take any vacation?
No, this year is really our first year of changing the way we do our approach. This year will be a year that we actually make money. And so more able to plan, you know, in the broader perspective.
So what are your top priorities for the next 3 to 6 months?
Getting the cows off the mountain. I also host a guest stay. So I want that to be taken care of through the winter. On a farmhouse. What are my priorities? To sell all of our steers, the quarter halves and wholes. Right now we're doing a kind of a promotion for anybody that puts deposits down for a half or a whole beef. We're going to donate $200 of beef to Care and Share in their name.
Awesome.
So yeah, we have a limited supply on those, but I want all of them sold in the next 30 days. And so, they'll be shipped out in the fall, October, November.
So are most of your orders pre-orders, like that far in advance, that people are ordering now to get products shipped in October, November?
It's a combination of both. Like I said, most of our meat right now is going to Care and Share. But yeah, right now, again, it's seasonality. A lot of people already know that. And so I'm starting to get those deposits in. Yeah. And so we're kind of starting to juggle, like, okay, what are we taking to the processor this month? What are we taking next month? That kind of stuff.
So what is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this whole entrepreneurship journey?
Biggest piece of advice: to enjoy every moment. The biggest piece of advice I'd have for somebody else: have your priorities straight, know where you want to go, and know how you want to get there, and stay focused in that respect.
So would you say that, you mentioned that you were a teacher before, would you say that's helped you in terms of structure for being a successful entrepreneur?
I wish I could say yes. The structure, it's hard to plan. Cows don't have a plan. Yesterday, I had to fix a fence. Did not plan on that. But what it has helped me with is the communication. And again, as I said, I was a nutrition teacher, but I was also a culinary arts teacher. In that regard, it gives me, I think, a broader look at the quality of product that I'm creating.
So what has been more challenging, this current business or being a teacher and working with students?
Being a sole proprietor is challenging. It's very challenging. Being a teacher was challenging, but you're always getting a paycheck. So being a sole proprietor, you have to be ready to do whatever you can.
Makes sense. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your business?
Ooh, like I said, what we're going to be doing is we'll have our herd ready to the point where it's being sold and packaged and delivered by November. And we will be, you know, not working so hard in the winter. So we are even feeding in the winter and taking them to, we take Rob's cows up to my sweetheart, up to some farms, big Navajo farms, big, huge. And they clean up the leftover stocks from, you know, from the farming. So we'll be going up there soon. So yeah, I hope that we can get to the point where we're not working quite so hard all year.
For sure. So if somebody wanted to reach out to you or your business, do you mind sharing your website or social media handles? Like, what's the best way for somebody to get in contact with you?
My website is podunksranch.com. My Facebook is Podunks Ranch. My Instagram is Podunks Ranch. Podunk comes from my grandpa, named me Podunk at birth. Never called me anything else ever. Even his friends didn't know my real name. So in honor of him, I named it Podunks Ranch.
Well, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully we can chat again in 1 year from now as you guys keep growing and scaling your business.
Right. Oh, thank you. Yes, me too. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.